Today on Real Radio.
I will get emails, I guarantee you. I will get emails. I can't believe, you know what, you boy, you should read this book. And this one guy, boy, you know what, he will really contradict you. We've got to keep the law. We've got to be, and all this stuff. And little do they know that I don't care what they're saying, because what's happening, it's their argument is with the Lord. They're insulting the atoning work of Christ at the cross.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack Hibbs continues his topical series on the Ten Commandments. It's often noted that the first part of the Ten Commandments are called the vertical commandments, if you will. In other words, they pretty much deal with our relationship with our Creator, whereas the rest of the commandments seem to deal with affairs amongst us, you and me. Well, Pastor Jack now examines what's truly the most controversial of the vertical principles, keeping the Sabbath day holy. Here's Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs with more on the fourth commandment.
If you can get past Genesis 1:1, everything's downhill from there. In the beginning, that's of the physical universe, God created the heavens and the earth. You know what? My thought is, listen, I mean this. I'm not being sarcastic. My thought is, what took him so long? 6 days. Seriously. For God to resurrect a human being, that's awesome. For God to create a human being, that's amazing. It just causes everything else to be parsley on the side of your plate. It's just for dressing. Because he created you in the image of God. That is absolutely amazing. That is fantastic. But the Bible says he did it in 6 24-hour periods. And if you're God, you can do anything you want. That's how big my God is. I hope your God is that big. I hope your God is as big as my God. My God's bigger than your God. He is so huge. He's so amazing. And he establishes from the beginning this concept, this teaching regarding the Sabbath. Number one thing is this. What the Sabbath cannot do, it cannot rescue you. Will you write that down? It cannot be your source of rescue. Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It cannot be your source of rescue. In Romans 8, verse 1, it says, there is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. Two laws. Did you hear them? In verse 2, you've got two laws that the Bible is announcing. There is the law that is in Christ Jesus that sets you free. That's the Spirit. And then there's a law that is responsible for sin and death. Ladies and gentlemen, the Ten Commandments are absolutely holy and pure, but they are the commandments, the perfection of God revealed to man, that cannot rescue you. The Ten Commandments cannot save you. If you're one today saying, well, I keep the fourth commandment. I keep the Sabbath day holy. I guarantee you, before you even get to the seventh day, there's been enough sin in your life to completely negate the keeping of that commandment. God's law is there to actually condemn us by glorifying God's holiness. None of us can approach God in all of his greatness and all of his holiness, because we, from the very beginning, mankind fallen, is in a sinful state. Isn't it interesting that there was no Sabbath in the Garden of Eden? When Adam and Eve were walking in perfection with God Almighty, there was no Sabbath day granted in the sense that we can't walk with God today. We can't walk with God today. There was the acknowledgement of God every day. You say, Jack, wait a minute. The Bible just says Genesis. You just read it a moment ago. Yes, but who wrote Genesis, ladies and gentlemen? Moses wrote it. Moses came way after Adam and Eve. In fact, for that matter, people want to talk about circumcision. Oh, you know, you got to be circumcised to be holy. Well, wait a minute. Where did that come from? It is true, but where did it come from? It came from Moses, through Moses. Moses wrote that. God declared Abraham, before Moses was ever around, righteous by his faith. Do you hear that? The law is not to save. The law is to point. The law is to be like a roadmap pointing you to Christ. That's why it's absolutely ridiculous for somebody to say, I keep the law. No, you don't. And if you think you have, and if your friends think you have, it doesn't matter anyway, because Jesus exposed the entire meaning of the law. He said, you've read that you should not look upon your neighbor's husband or wife and lust after them. That's adultery. And somebody might say, that's right, I've never done it, never committed adultery. And Jesus says, I say to you, if you look at a man or a woman in lust, you've committed it. Why did Jesus say that? Because that was the spirit of the law. You can actually argue that in court. The law says this, Your Honor, but my client in the situation, what happened here, what transpired was the spirit of him keeping the law, or whatever the case may be. There's truth to that. The Bible goes on to say in Romans 8, verse 3, for what the law could not do in that it was weak through the flesh. The law cannot get into harmony with my flesh. They don't agree. God did by sending his own son in the likeness of sinful flesh on account of sin. He condemned sin in the flesh. Is that amazing? That the righteous requirements of the law might be fulfilled in us who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. Listen, are you a Christian tonight? Is it your heart's desire and passion to follow Jesus Christ? Then listen, you are going to walk in the Spirit. And listen, ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says the law of sin and death no longer has jurisdiction over your life. With all perfect good intentions, Moses has got the Ten Commandments. And he's walking with them, so to speak, behind you. And he's waiting for you to mess up. And the moment you mess up, boom! Because that's what Moses' job. That's the job of the law, to convict of sin. Now think, now, walking in the Spirit, your heart is not planning on sin. You don't desire to sin. Listen, friends, tonight, if you're of the lifestyle where you think, I go to church, I love God, I also happen to love my girlfriend, and I go to church on Sunday, but I sleep with her 6 days a week. But it's okay because I go to church. You are in an extremely dangerous world. You know the law, you know what the scripture says, and you are willfully sinning in the face of God, but you're telling yourself, I'm okay, because I went for an hour and a half on Sunday and I did some spiritual time. And I don't care if you make it a spiritual time Monday, Saturday, or Sunday, it's an abomination to God, and we'll see this in a moment. God says, don't talk to me anymore, you who claim to know me. I don't even want to see you on the Sabbath, God will say. Wow. The Sabbath cannot rescue you. 2 Corinthians 3:6 tells us. 2 Corinthians 3:6. Regarding the work of God, who also made us sufficient as ministers of the new covenant. A new covenant. Not of the letter, that's a reference to the law, but of the Spirit. For the letter kills, but the Spirit gives life. But if the ministry of death, written and engraved on stones, was glorious so that the children of Israel could not look steadfast at the face of Moses because of his glory, of his countenance, which glory was passing away, how will the ministry of the Spirit not be more glorious? Can someone say amen? That's amazing. If Moses came down the mountain glowing from being in the presence of God, the Bible says right here that if that faded away and it was glorious, then how much more is this new covenant that you and I have with God by the Spirit of God? That is a personal relationship with Christ that never fades away. You say, well, Jack, I want to see some action, man. I want to see some glowing taking place. I want to see a sign. Listen, the greatest sign that you can ever experience is the work of the Holy Spirit that begins in your life. And he starts inside. And he's given us pictures in life to figure that out. Everything starts small. A grand forest fire starts with a little spark. You think of a pearl, as amazing as that is, starts with a little grain of sand. God is announcing to us That things start like this, but it grows. And the internal man, the Bible calls that the new man, the person that is you. If you have faith in Christ, you're trusting in Jesus, there's been a spark that begins in you. And a new life starts, and it begins to grow up in you. And you feed upon the Word of God. You have to have the Bible. There's people who come forward to accept Christ, but they never want to read the Bible. What happened? The Bible tells us, Jesus tells us in Matthew 13, that Satan, the devil, snatches that newly infused word. He takes it out before some of them even ever make it home. They wind up saying on the way home, well, I don't know, that was stupid. I'm going to give up on that. Those who are truly God's will hunger, thirst, and love the Word of God. And we need to examine our hearts tonight. Understand this, that no good performance can rescue you. That really slays our flesh. That really cuts through the quick of our pride. We want to think, wait a minute, I can do better than that. We cannot rescue ourselves. Matthew 12:11, Jesus said to them, what man shall be there among you that shall have one sheep? And if it fall into a pit on the Sabbath day, will he not lay hold on it and lift it out? How much more then is a man better than a sheep? Wherefore, it is lawful to do well on the Sabbath days. Do you see what they were doing? The religious people were saying, no, you can't do that. You can't do this because it's the Sabbath day. And Jesus is speaking to the spirit of it all. You mean if your lamb falls into a pit, you're going to stand there and let it die because, sorry, I can't rescue it. It's the Sabbath day. I've met people in Israel who are Jewish, who obey the word as much as they can. But they understand, you know what? This happened on a day of Sabbath. We were attacked by our enemies. Missiles came over from Lebanon. And we had to go to war that day. Can you imagine Israel's being attacked on the Sabbath day, which, by the way, their enemy usually always attacks them on the Sabbath day. And they got to sit and think about, wait a minute, should we protect our citizens? It's the Sabbath. Gosh, God, we would really love to, but we have to wait 24 more hours. Does anybody think that's stupid? But, oh, no, but you can't break the law. You're going to hear Jesus say in a moment, man was not created for the law. The law was created for man. That's a big deal. Legalism can't stand this kind of talk. I will get emails, I guarantee you. I will get emails. I can't believe, you know what, you boy, you should read this book. And this one guy, boy, you know what, he will really contradict you. We've got to keep the law. We've got to be, and all this stuff. And little do they know that I don't care what they're saying, because what's happening, it's their argument is with the Lord. They're insulting the atoning work of Christ at the cross. Jesus said, it's smart if you pick up your lamb and rescue it on the Sabbath. It cannot rescue you. What else can the Sabbath not do? It cannot forgive you. The Sabbath has no power to forgive you. It is the law. Galatians 3, verse 22 says, but the scripture has confined all under sin. Did you hear that, everybody? The Bible says all of us are confined or condemned, kept under sin by the law. That the promise by faith in Jesus Christ might be given to those who believe. But before faith came, we were kept under guard by the law, kept for the faith which would afterward be revealed. Watch this. Therefore, the law was our tutor. The word in Greek is pedagogus. It means schoolmaster. No mercy. It's got the ruler. It's going to smack you if you step out of line. That's what it means. It's the tutor, the schoolmaster, to bring us to Christ. The law causes us to run to Jesus for mercy, that we might be justified by faith. But after faith has come, we no longer are under the tutor. Can someone say amen? The law stalks you and I constantly. Oh my goodness, I was speaking to somebody just a couple days ago, and we're talking about salvation and faith, and Lisa and I were witnessing to this young lady, and she's looking at the Bible and, wow, you know what, Mo, that, wow, really, really? And then she said, my sister needs to hear this. Why does your sister need to hear this? Because she's gripped with fear. Why is she gripped with fear? Because she knows about God, but she's terrified that every moment she sinned against God and she thinks he's going to kill her any second. And so she lives in total fear, constant fear. She has phobias, all kinds of phobias about God. Oh my goodness. You listen, that woman needs to experience the liberty that Jesus sets your soul, your mind, your spirit free from, the curse of the law. Did you know that? The law stalks you, convicts you. That's why as humans, we have shame. We have guilt. Don't you want your shame and your guilt removed? You can have it taken away. That's what Jesus does by the law of the Spirit. He sets us free. No more guilt. I mean to tell you, no more guilt. You say, well, Pastor, don't you ever mess up since you get saved, after you've gotten saved? Yes, but there's no more guilt. Because when I mess up, I say, oh, Jesus, that was wrong what I just did. I should not have thought that or said that or cut that guy off like that, thinking it was a racetrack, but it was a 60 freeway. Should not have done that, Lord. Please forgive me, that is wrong. There's no opportunity for guilt. I'm convicted by my sin, and I ask God to forgive me of it and to put his spirit in my heart, to renew his spirit in me, that I would walk closer to him and not sin against him. No Christian that is a heaven-bound Christian wakes up and says, man, I'm going to go to work today, and after, you know, tonight, I'm going to sin up a storm. Just going to go out sinning. You can't think like that. Because it's a love relationship. It's not a stone tablet relationship. Mark chapter 3, verse 1. Mark 3, 1, the Bible says, and he, Jesus, entered again into the synagogue, and there was a man there which had a withered hand. The guy's hand was crippled. And they watched him. You know the Pharisees. Look, the Pharisees are like this. And you know they're going to watch him. I watch him. I bet you he's going to do something any minute. So the man had a withered hand, verse 2, and they watched him whether he would heal on the Sabbath day that they might accuse him. And he said unto the man which had the withered hand, stand forth. So you see all these Pharisees, they got their cameras out, their iPhones, they're getting ready to take a picture of this. And he said to them, is it lawful to do good on the Sabbath day or to do evil? What a great question. To save life or to kill it? But they held their peace. So they're not altogether totally stupid. They shut up at that. Verse 6 says, and the Pharisees went forth and straightway took counsel with the Herodians against him, how they might destroy Jesus, how they might kill him. Why? Because Jesus healed the man with a withered hand. Church, did you get that, friend? Listen, legalist, person who is saying, no, you got to keep this. Wait a minute. Jesus challenged the very same spirit of individual legalism. We set up these gauntlets, we set up these courses, and we run through them, and then we say, look what I've done. It's man-made. It's ridiculous. Jesus says, hey, get your cameras ready, get your recorders ready, watch this. Man with the withered hand, you're healed now. Go and sin no more. Their reaction, we got to figure out a way to kill Jesus. Why? Because he just violated the Sabbath day. They were talking to the one who invented the Sabbath day. And he says, what do you want to do, evil or do good on the Sabbath day? Save your lamb or let your lamb die? Heal a man of a withered hand or let him suffer? Isn't he on? Don't you love Jesus the more and more you get to know him like this? I love this. This is so great. His creative greatness is awesome. His love is awesome. In Luke 4:31, listen. The Bible says, and Jesus came to Capernaum, a city of Galilee, and he taught them on the Sabbath days. He taught on the Sabbath days. And they were astonished at his doctrine, for his words were with power. And in the synagogues there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil and cried out with a loud voice. So you got a possessed guy in your synagogue. Jesus is there, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him. Wow. saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him down in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, what a word is this? With what authority and power he commanded the unclean spirit, and they come out. Jesus did this time and time again, but the Pharisee, the legalist, would challenge him about it happening on the Sabbath day. And we have people today that are saying, you guys are Antichrist worshipers for not worshiping on the Sabbath day. You're violating the Sabbath day. And first of all, I'd like to know how many of them who are saying this are Jewish to begin with. Because the commandment was given to the Jewish people. And then secondly, wouldn't you like to set up a little camera to see how many of the other sins they violate? But they'll point their finger at you. They'll try to condemn you. This is a serious thing. By the way, those verses, Exodus 16, 23 to 25 says you can't cook on Saturdays. Exodus 35, 1 to 3 says you can't warm your house or light your house on a Saturday. Numbers 15, 32 says that you cannot pick up a stick or anything for that matter on the Sabbath day, Saturday. The rabbis used to teach that even a flea had the day off on Saturday. Because it was, listen, the reason why they said that is because it was illegal for you to kill a flea if it jumped on your hand on the Sabbath day. Listen, when we go to Israel, there's the Sabbath elevator and then there's the Gentile elevators. I'm not kidding. On the Sabbath day. Listen, it's so cute to see our team. We try not to warn them, but the tour guides always warn them. We get upset because we want you to experience it on your own. It's the best. When on a Sabbath day, you come in from tour and you're at your hotel and you go, oh, look, this elevator's open. There's tons of people and you're wondering, look at this one's open. And everyone's watching. There goes a guy who doesn't know nothing. And you walk in there and you press the button, nothing happens. Somehow it senses that, and then the door closes, and you can't touch any buttons. I mean, you can touch them all you want. Just nothing's going to happen. Because it's been programmed by some computer engineer guy. It's this Shabbat elevator, and it stops at every floor automatically, and it takes you forever to get to your room. Or you can go to the Gentile elevator and punch all the buttons you want and go to the exact room floor of the button you punched. Why? Because they believe that we're all going to hell and it doesn't matter if we get to our room in time or not. No, really, I had a guy tell me that. You're going to hell. I asked him, do you know what time it is? He goes, I'm not telling you the time. You're going to hell. You're a Gentile. What am I going to give? It was amazing. It was the first year in Israel I'd ever been there. It was a Hasidic Jew. You know the Hasidic Jews, the guys are all wrapped up in black and listen, you're going to keep the law like that. You better keep it all, baby. You better keep it all. You can't keep some of them. You got to keep them all.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs here on Real Radio in a lesson that takes a look at number 4 of the Ten Commandments. It's undoubtedly the most controversial of the church age dealing with keeping the Sabbath day holy. There's more to come in this lesson from Pastor Jack, so please be sure to join us again on tomorrow's edition of Real Radio. Now remember to visit realradioactive.org when you get a chance. That's realradioactive.org. Then click the button that says Radio Reaction. We've made it real easy for you to just drop Pastor Jack a line right there and give him a word of encouragement. You can also read what others have written, like this one from our own backyard here in Southern California. Jack Hibbs comes on just as I get off work. I absolutely love his ministry. Pastor Jack's enthusiasm for Jesus and the gospel is awesome. Everyone has a certain style of ministry that they enjoy. Jack Hibbs is so my style. Just want him to know he is appreciated. And that one comes from Jennifer in Riverside here in Southern California. Thank you, Jennifer, for that word of encouragement. We really do appreciate it. Again, visit realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. Our telephone number is 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio and made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at realradioactive.org. That's realradioactive.org. I'm David J., and Till next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time. This program has been sponsored by Real Radio.